This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Ugh, where's the Advil?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. If you woke up with your head throbbing this morning like I did, it might be the same thing. A financial headache. Yesterday's 360-point plunge for the Dow wiped out all of the gains for this year. This month looks to be the worst June for the Dow since 1930. Marketplace's Steve Henn hit the streets this morning looking for a cure.
What's your favorite cure for a hangover?
Good cup of coffee.
Sleep.
Water. Lots of water.
Or what about
Alka-Seltzer, plop.
This morning, Wall Street was hoping the Commerce Department's consumer spending report might provide that kind of bubbly relief. Government tax rebates pushed spending up 5.7% last month. But Mark Zandi at Economy.com says,
I don't know that this is going to be enough to get us out of a pretty difficult period for the economy over the next 6 to 12 months.
So if consumer spending isn't going to clear our economic headache, what can we take?
Same thing you drunk last night.
A little hair of the dog, huh?
Yeah, there you go. A little hair of the dog.
What would that be in Wall Street's case? Let's see. More easy credit, laxed lending standards, maybe a pinch of poor government oversight, and an economy crippled by an incoherent energy policy.
Shaken, not stirred.
Sounds delicious. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Sounds awful. Let's go to New York and check in with our reporter Amy Scott, who covers Wall Street. Amy, what's with all this new angst in the stock market?
Well, there seem to be three big issues. The first being oil, which rose above $142 a barrel in New York this morning for the first time. Then there is the credit situation. Yesterday, Goldman Sachs warned that Citigroup is facing another $8 billion plus in credit-related write-downs, another $4 billion or so at Merrill Lynch. And then finally, the interest rate situation. You know, earlier this week, the Federal Reserve didn't raise interest rates, but implied that it may have to fight inflation. And Wall Street doesn't like that because it raises the cost of borrowing for businesses.
Right. But this is nothing new. We knew all this already. So why the big plunge yesterday?
Well, what I'm told is that, you know, any one of those factors would be bad news, but all three converging at once was more than the markets could take. The headwinds, as one analyst put it to me today, are blistering.
Well, this has been the worst June since 1930 so far. What are the prospects for a turnaround here in the last couple of days of the month?
Well, you know, typically you see a little bit of a bounce after a big sell-off like this, and I think analysts are predicting we may see a little bit of that today. As we heard from Steve earlier, you know, there's some positive economic news that might help with personal income and spending. The good news is that one economist I spoke to this morning says, you know, when everyone's this gloomy, as depressing as that is, it's usually when the market starts to turn around.
All right. Amy Scott in New York. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
There is no rally yet. The Dow is down another 20 points to 11,433. The NASDAQ has dropped 7. The S&P 500 is flat. In Asia, all the markets fell at least 2%. China was down 4%. European shares are off a fraction so far. Now let's turn to our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, I know there was a note from Barclays today that gave the Fed a pretty good whack. What did it say?
It says the credibility of the Fed has fallen below zero. It's allowed the inflation genie out of the bottle.
Wow, that's pretty severe. Anything else in there?
Well, it warns Barclays clients to prepare for a financial storm ahead. It suggests that headline inflation in the U.S. is going to hit 5.5% by August, and that the Fed will be forced to raise interest rates 6 times by the end of next year to prevent a wage spiral. It's pretty depressing stuff, suggesting that investors should put on their hard hats and prepare for a lot of trouble.
Speaking of depressing, Stephen, the head of Gazprom is making a prediction, another prediction, that oil is going to $250 next year. What do you make of that?
Well, not, I suppose, entirely unexpected that the head of an energy company would be bullish about his principal product. But indeed, Alexei Miller, in an interview in the Financial Times this morning, says the world is undergoing a great surge in oil and gas prices, which will end with prices at a radically new level.
Well, good morning to you, sir.
Isn't it great to be alive?
All right, Stephen Beard in London, thanks.
Okay, Scott.
You're listening to The Morning Report on Marketplace.org. Churches usually don't have to pay property taxes. The IRS considers a house of worship a nonprofit cause. But some congregations don't meet in church buildings these days. So guess what? The IRS is re-examining this. Ashley Milne-Tite explains.
My name is Beth, and it's a privilege to welcome you to Christ Chapel this evening.
Beth White is associate pastor of Christ Chapel, a church in Macon, Georgia. Each Sunday, around 800 people pack an auditorium in the sprawling sports center the church calls home.
More and more churches are seeing more results, more payout for their investment by using spaces that can be used to reach students and families and adults all throughout the week.
White says the church moved in here in part because of the local arena minor league football team, figuring being close to the team would give the church a shot at attracting more kids to the fold. The church let the team keep an office in the building. The team let the church do a little marketing at home games. The congregation grew. But so did interest from the local tax board.
The whole complication was the fact that the football team was using our building, and they were a for-profit business.
Christ Chapel got a property tax bill for $17,000. That eventually dropped to $3,600. But some so-called megachurches have been hit with bills of more than $100,000. The Reverend Jerry Kucher is chief of finance and operations for the Episcopal Diocese of New York. He says some of these churches meet in former malls and rent the remaining space to stores, restaurants, and gyms.
You might say, of course, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul saith, but it's not immediately obvious that running a gym is part of the church's exempt purpose.
If a church runs a commercial business, Kucher says, or leases its space to one, it has to act like one.
You're involved in a private sector activity, so you should be paying property taxes like commercial landlords do.
Beth White of Christ Chapel says more churches are likely to wrestle with property tax issues for one reason.
There's more and more vacant commercial real estate out there.
America's growing churches are taking advantage of the situation and buying the space up, and that's turning many of them into landlords. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Visa is going to give gas station owners a break. It'll reduce the fees charged when people swipe their credit cards at the pump. Those fees are a fixed percentage of each transaction, so they've been going up with the price of gasoline. Fees are now about 10 cents a gallon, which is almost the entire markup stations charge you per gallon. I don't imagine this will bring down the price of gasoline much, so let's move on. To chocolate. The world's cocoa supply is under threat. But there's no need to hoard the Hershey's just yet. Government scientists and the candy industry are on it. Janet Babin reports from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
It's more than inflation that's up the cost of those M&Ms. The cacao tree, that's the tree that produces cocoa beans, is under siege from drought and disease. The lost crops cost farmers about $700 million a year. Short supply has doubled bean prices in many places. To improve crop yields, scientists will map the cocoa bean genome. Raymond Schnell is a geneticist with the USDA's Ag Research Service.
What we're trying to do is produce more disease-resistant varieties of cacao that are highly productive and have the flavor attributes that are needed by the confectionery industry.
Most cocoa beans are grown outside the U.S., so why does the U.S. government research them? Schnell says it's because 65,000 people here work in the candy industry. American candy giant Mars, Inc. will contribute $10 million to fund the research. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Gas prices have some people commuting to work old school. And I mean really old school. A dentist in Washington State got a special permit from his town so he and his employees can ride to work on horses. Not everybody in the office is saddling up. Some of the staff have decided to ride those newfangled contraptions called bicycles. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.